Welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we uncover the secrets of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who've used public speaking to skyrocket their businesses and their bottom line. Get ready for captivating stories, valuable insights, and practical wisdom from the trailblazers who've mastered the art of the stage. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm thrilled to bring you their experiences and expertise directly to you. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the show where we don't talk about public speaking. We talk about how to weaponize your voice, build your authority, and get paid well to do it. I'm Kelly O'Hara, and today's episode, it's not your average, here's how to be a better speaker chat. This one is for anyone who's tired of playing small, getting passed over, or watching their brilliance collect dust because they don't know how to get in front of the right people. If you've ever thought, what would I even talk about on a TEDx stage? You're in the right place. Because today's guest doesn't just land TEDx stages. He helps regular people turn them into rocket fuel for their credibility, their business, and their bank account. Joining me today is a man who's lived about five lifetimes worth of accomplishments and somehow still makes time to teach the rest of us how to level up. Terry L. Fossum is a survival reality show winner, a Wall Street Journal, Amazon, and Barnes & Noble number one best-selling author, and the creator of one of the most talked about TEDx talks of this century, literally named one of the top 30 TED Talks ever. He's raised millions for charities, earned the title of LA Magazine's Person of the Year, built an award-winning speaking career charging $20,000 an hour, and shows them exactly how to land the stage. His book, The Simple Guide to Public Speaking Without Losing Your Lunch, is taught at the MBA level and has been praised by astronauts, military leaders, and beauty queens alike. And today, he's here to pull back the curtain on what it really takes to turn your voice into your greatest asset. We're digging into insider strategies, big misconceptions, and exactly how his own TED Talk took him from silence to center stage, and how yours can too. Terry L. Fossum, I can't tell you how excited I am to welcome you to the spotlight.
Kelly, I can't tell you how excited I am to be here. Kelly and I, for all the listeners, were chatting ahead of time, and right away we hit it off. I love this gal. We are going to keep in touch for the long run. She's just amazing. I really appreciate what you're doing to help people find their voice and use their voice to make a difference in the world. This really is the podcast to listen to.
That's a start. I'll tell you what, if everybody's not a little bit riveted here, I'm surprised because I'm excited. You've got this resume that reads like a movie script. Survival show winner. I got to ask you about that. Best-selling author, TEDx powerhouse. But you got to take us back before all the recognition. What were you doing before the TEDx stage, before the best-selling book, before it all clicked? And what was the pivotal moment that changed it all for you?
Wow. The pivotal moment was actually one of the lowest times in my life. I talk about it on my TED Talk, where I had gotten into business and I tried really hard. I learned all the self-improvement I could get my hands on, all the goal setting, everything I could get my hands on. And I tried and I failed and I tried and I failed and I tried and I failed. And I finally got to the point where I just couldn't fail anymore, Kelly. And I walked into the bathroom and I looked at myself in the mirror and I thought back to a guy that came up to my father before he was killed and told him, I just want to make sure you understand something. Not a single one of your boys will ever grow up to be anything. And I thought back to that guy and went, you know what? I guess he's right. I guess he's right. You're never going to grow up to be anything. But that was actually a pivotal moment in my life right there where everything turned around, because that's where the ox cart technique, which is the subject of my number one best-selling book on Wall Street Journal, etc., and called The Biggest Advancement in the Science of Goal Setting in Recent History by one of the 50 top brains in science in the world, that's where it got invented, because I got pissed off, Kelly. I got pissed off. That's what happened. I went, no, I refuse to let that happen for the sake of the memory of my dad, if nothing else. I refuse to let that son of a gun be right. And I got back up and I realized at that point that 92% of the people who set a goal fail. 92%. There is a reason why. It's because most of what we're taught about goal setting is either incomplete or completely wrong. We all chase the positive visualization, the carrot, but something called prospect theory. And this is a little off our subject, but I think it's really important for people to hear. All right. Prospect theory received the Nobel Prize when it was applied to economics. So this is the real deal. This isn't some hooey that's out there. Okay. There's a lot of that. This is Nobel Prize winning science, an actual application of it as validated by some of the top scientific minds in the world. We will do more to avoid pain than to go toward pleasure. Let me say it again, and it does apply to speaking. We'll do more to avoid pain than to go toward pleasure. We associate getting out of our comfort zone with pain. So therefore, no matter how big the carrot, the positive visualization, the bunnies and unicorns, the manifestation, all of that stuff that we do, it's not strong enough to get us out of our comfort zone. That right there is the single biggest reason why 92% of the population who sets a goal fails at reaching it. Oxcart technique adds in the stick. Give me something more painful to look at, more painful than getting out of the comfort zone. In my case, never grew up to be anything. Oh, heck no. I didn't say heck. I did not say heck no. I'm not going to let that happen. That was too painful. It kicked me out of my comfort zone. And then I still face the same challenges and setbacks and everything else as before, but now from a different standpoint, not for some positive visualization I never believed would happen to a kid like me, raised in literally the poorest city in the entire U.S., surrounded by gangs and drugs, never going to grow up to be anything. Not something to go towards, something to go away from. That was a turnaround for me. I became part of the top fraction of 1% of my entire business industry in the world after that.
Let me ask you. So I love this. And already, if everybody's listening, that you just want to hear the next piece. But I want to go to something. Mindset. There's a lot of people out there doing mindset adjustment. There's a lot out there. I get it. But I think what you've said is so powerful, because I think a lot of people don't know what stops them. When you're setting these goals and they all look fabulous, it's going to take you to someplace magical, they don't realize that somebody in their life said something that they took in and it became part of their belief system. So let's say you're in a family. You might have a family that's really successful, but if somebody said to you, you know what, but men are always going to be more successful than women. You're just a girl. You can only go so far. And they didn't mean to say, that's just what they think. But if you took that statement and wrapped a story around it, that you, it became part of what you think too, even though it's in the subconscious, isn't it? It's really below the radar. It could be anything. I will tell one of mine, just because you've been so upfront. One of mine was, my parents were divorced and my father didn't. My father was fabulous. He was really successful. He did really well in life. But if you don't show up on the day you're supposed to pick up your kid and you do it over and you say, I have to work. Yeah. I have to work. I can't make it this Thursday. I can't make it. Pretty soon what happens is that person says, I must not be as valuable.
Bingo. I'm not important.
That's what your work is.
Yeah.
And then you take that and you can wrap a story around that, and it can keep you from... It can cause a lot of problems down the road. So really discovering what that initial story is that's got you stuck, whether it's girls aren't as important as boys, or don't speak because you don't want to embarrass yourself. Don't put, I don't know, it's a myriad of things. But do you think that one guy you went into agreement with, somewhere in your mind, you went into agreement with that you and your brothers are never going to get out of this town. You're never going to be successful. It's such a crazy thing if you think about it. Like, why would you believe this guy? But
yeah.
If you do, then it might stop you from things in the future until you discover that was the thing. That was the thing that hung you up.
And I teach another method along with that, specifically now speaking about public speaking. Is when I have people who we all know fear public speaking is the number one fear. We all know that. And it's absolutely true. And why is that? One of the things that I teach people is you can speak passionately. I don't care who you are. You can and you have spoken passionately. If you question that, just ask your children, because you have certainly spoken passionately to them. You don't have children, just ask your spouse or any significant. Anytime you've been pissed off, you have spoken passionately. Odds are, what's the difference? Because when you're doing that, you don't care about, am I going to forget the words? How am I going to come across? Is the audience judgment? No. You have a subject that the audience, your child, is going to accept and is going to take action on. And that's all you care about. When we go up to speak publicly, we're more worried about ourselves. Am I going to forget the words? Am I going to stumble? Am I going to look stupid? Are they going to hate me? Is it going to be horrible? Are they going to just fall asleep and walk out on me? Those things are going through our heads.
They judge me? Will they, right? I hear that all the time. What if they hate me?
Absolutely. And here, the point that I make with folks too, right along with that, is get over yourself.
It's not about you.
It's about, and a lot of people say it's about the audience, and that's absolutely true. But more importantly, it's about what you're speaking on. Do you believe in what you're speaking about? Are you passionate about it? Do you believe that they should be too? Do you believe that they should be so much that they will get up out of the chairs and take action on it? If that's the case, that's what you want to focus on. When I'm raising money, I've been very blessed to help raise millions and millions of dollars for charities. And when I get up on stage, it's not about, oh, I hope they love me. I hope that I come across great. I really want that standing ovation. No, I do. Don't get me wrong. But that's not what it's all about. It's about helping that charity get those funds they need, in my case, mostly to save kids, to turn boys and girls into honorable men and women. That's all I care about. You don't like me? No problem, man. Give money to help those kids. It's all about the message. And if you focus on that, a lot of the other fears go away if you're passionate about what matters.
So true. I love that you share that. It's beyond just, it's not about you. If you care about the cause, if it matters to you, it's easy to talk about. It hooked you in. You believe in it. You can share that. Other people want to be part of that.
Yeah. Said. Absolutely.
So what do you think, looking back on these early years? And I can't help it. I need to know what the reality show is that you were on. I have to know because I follow a few. I love The Amazing Race, et cetera. So I just have to hear what it is. But looking back on those years, what part of the story do you think people would find most surprising or totally unexpected about you?
As far as the reality show goes, or?
No, I know that's a double question. You just have to say what it is. I just am dying of curiosity. But I want to know, what would people be really surprised to find out about you? The fact that you're on a reality show is pretty interesting.
What they'd be surprised to find out about me is I'm an introvert.
I love that.
I told you right after we're done here, I jump in my truck and I go up to my off-grid log cabin ranch, 80 acres, all by myself, top of a mountain in middle of nowhere, Montana, by myself. And I've done a solo trek deep into the Arctic Circle, to all different parts of the world by myself. There's a reason why. I'm an introvert. So if you're listening on, you're going, whoa, time out. He doesn't sound like an introvert. I'm an introvert. He doesn't sound like me. Yeah. Because it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about, I want to help you, the listener. I want to help you get over this and get that message that you've got inside of you to make that difference in the world. And it ain't about you. It's about that message.
It's amazing. I knew you would be an absolute fabulous guest to have. It's a real gift to have you here. But I absolutely love that early into this, that you are sharing that you are an introvert. I am as well. And so I really relate and want the audience to hear that you do not have to be what's perceived as a bold, a big mouth person that's so comfortable on the stage and it's a piece of cake for you, for them. Listen, there's a life there for you. And speaking about your business is so important. I love this. So talk to me about how the TEDx situation came about. What made you decide that TEDx was going to be the next major move on your part?
It's amazing because TEDx is the biggest stage in the world. And yeah, my book hit number one, but that doesn't help me bring in the big bucks, quite frankly. Having a book is fantastic, but everybody who has a book and has worked hard with it understands you're not going to make a lot of money from the book. That's not the deal. You make money by getting on the stages. How do you get the world to know about your voice? Get on the TEDx stage. And I will fully admit, Kelly, that I had no earthly idea how hard this thing would hit. I didn't expect it. And then for, yeah, it to be named one of the 30 most impactful TED Talks of the century. But what would have happened if I didn't do the TED Talk? What would have happened if I know I do speaking already and I do it okay and all this? What would have happened? Wow, what a different life that would have been. So if you're thinking, we'll get into the weeds for you and help you out on this TEDx stuff. But if you're thinking, wow, maybe I want to do it, you do. Okay, you do. You need a strategy. You need guidance. You got to do it right all the way through from start to finish. But you do. You want to get on that stage. It's a game changer. It's a life changer.
I was just going to say, it is an absolute game changer. But you doing this, you decided to go after this. Did you have any fear walking into going after the biggest stage in the world? Any discomfort, shall I say?
Of course I did. I'd love to be on here going, no, Kelly, I'm so cool. No. And anybody who says differently is, I don't know, maybe either overconfident or just plain lying. No, I had every concern in the world. And from my standpoint, there's different coaching programs for getting on TEDx stages. And I got on one that I paid a heap of money for. And it didn't do it. I learned a few things, but it didn't get me on there. It's when I dug in myself and started learning, okay, wait, I need to find out how to really do this, what the real strategies are. And when I did that, I booked a TEDx stage within a few weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
You prep for this in just a few weeks,
yeah.
The introvert that you are. And you had no idea, because nobody does. Nobody knows what's going to go viral in an insane way. This was great. I think it would be right to share what happened to you that is very unique.
It is. And that's important to know too, also, because I put together a TEDx coaching program that is from start to finish. First of all, I've got an AI that we'll share with everybody to see if your idea would make it or not. And I've trained this thing, and I should back up a little bit. My degree is in mechanical engineering. I am a geek. So when I say I put together an AI, I'm not just some, hey, I learned ChatGPT last week, right? I'm working at it at a cognitive level higher than 99% of the population. And I've trained this thing to be brutally honest. If your idea isn't going to work, it's going to tell you, because we don't want to blow smoke where it shouldn't be blown. On the other hand, it will come back with some ideas for you. Okay, this isn't going to work. And I've seen this. I've watched people go through it and it comes back and say, no, but here's some other angles you might want to think about. And it'll give you a score to let you know, here's the odds are. So you got to have the right idea. And there's so many strategies to finding the right venue. They're not all created equal. To presenting to that, because if you do it wrong, you will never land a stage. Then prepping your talk, then promoting your talk all the way through. We can talk about any part of that you want to help your listeners on hitting their own TED Talk and making it go big.
Do you feel that people ought to practice prior to going after this TEDx talk and practice on earlier stages so they get a little bit more comfortable? Or do you think they ought to go for this right out of the gate?
Go for it right out of the gate. And here's why. We can make all the excuses in the world for ourselves of why we should wait. The timing's not right. The idea's not there yet. Any excuse in the world. No, the timing is now. Go for it. For one thing, and whether you go with my program or not, I've built an AI that specifically takes all of the best TEDx talks in the world, in existence, and takes your idea and helps you craft your talk so it is worthy of going viral. We'll talk about the promotion stuff later because it helps you do that too. But so it can take that idea and help you hone that down. Once you land a TEDx talk, you're going to be assigned a coach that's actually going to help you develop that talk. I'm actually the coach. One of my clients is Larry Namer, the billionaire founder of E! Entertainment TV. He's one of my clients for my program. And yeah, I'll personally coach Larry, sure. But you're going to have somebody that's going to help you through that. So if you've got just an idea, something you'd like to get out there, start. go for it now. Not tomorrow, not later tonight. Something's going to get in the way now.
This is so brilliant. And this is one of the things that you are giving to our audience today, that they have a chance to come in and try this out. So tell me about how that works and what the experience will be for someone who wants to see if this is even an avenue that it could be available to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I built the first AI you're going to have access to absolutely free. No questions asked. Absolutely free. It's called ideascore.ai. So it'll take your idea and it'll give you a score whether it thinks you're going to have a chance at landing a TEDx stage with it. What you'll also get access to immediately is a free 20-minute training that takes you through, okay, whether you join this program or not, you're going to have a much better idea. How do I develop out this? First of all, where do I find the TEDx stages? How do I find them out there? Now, in the program, you've got an AI that takes your idea and searches for the best stages for you automatically. Gives you the contact information, everything. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. But if you don't want to join the program, fantastic. Do it anyway. Listen to me. Listen, everybody, listen. Don't hold back on doing this because you don't think you're interested in joining my program. I don't care. From that standpoint, I care about you. I care about you getting your idea out there. So please do it. Okay. So that training is going to help you do it. It's going to help you hone down that idea and find the best stages for you. It's going to help you develop your talk. What are the ways that you want to develop that talk? How do you start it off? So you grab that audience's attention the second you walk up there so they can't wait to hear what you've got to say. How do you convince them that your idea they need to take action on? Not that it's a good idea, that's nifty. No, that they need to take action on it. How do you get them ready to jump on their feet the second you walk off that stage? The training is going to help you do that. And it's even going to give you ideas for you land that talk, how do you promote it? So all of that is in that training that's 100% free of charge. So whatever you do, at least do that.
It'd be crazy not to give this a try. Everybody listening, this will give you such a leg up. And you can see that Terry would be so fun to work with. So I have to ask you, so here you are making a difference. Give us an idea of what this training has done. Can you give us an example of someone who's used this training and how it changed things for him, what their progress was and how everything changed for them? You're one guy, but you sound like the one in a million that this thing has happened to. And now you've created a business to do this for other people. I think that's so powerful, but I'd love to hear how TEDx experience has changed with one of your students.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's amazing ways that TEDx will change people. First of all, and I'm sorry, let me go specific. The confidence level alone. I won't say names because I don't have permission to say any names here. But I've watched the confidence level of my students go through the flipping roof. They went from, went from, I'm scared, I don't know if I can do this. I really believe in my idea. People need to know that. Okay, that's cool. Listen to what you're saying right now. People need to. That's what we need to do. And to get past that and to be able to gain that confidence in, first of all, yeah, you're right. Your idea is a good idea. It can make a difference in the world. It is going to make a difference in the world too. And you are the voice to get it out there. So watching that confidence level alone. Now, so how does that change her life? How does that change your life? If you've now gained that confidence in this one major aspect of your life, getting up on a stage is major at a Rotary Club, right? Getting on the world's biggest stage, really big. Okay. She's done that. Now, what else is she capable of? She wants to ask for a raise. There you go. She wants to talk to a board of directors. She wants to make that significant difference around the entire globe. In this case, she has an idea of, again, goal setting that is her own approach to it that can help people, those 82%, whatever I said that number is, that is failing, that can help them redo their thought process. So now she's gotten validation on that. She's gotten the confidence to go out there and share it with the world. And now she's watching other people's lives be changed from it. And is that life-changing, Kelly?
Talk about empowered, really. And I will second everything you just said. When you get up there on a stage, especially if it's a significant stage like TEDx, it changes your life for one reason. One major reason is that you've conquered a fear that you had, something that stopped you. I know that was like, as an introvert, I had the same experience of, it wasn't a TEDx talk, but it was an industry talk that was a global event. And I didn't want to do it. I was absolutely terrified. I was absolutely terrified for the 4.5 months leading up to it. Made me sick every day. I thought, I can't do this. What if? And then I remember the moment that it was over and it had gone really well. And I was so delighted, but I'd worked really hard on it. But I will tell you, the thing that made the difference is that I had conquered something that I had avoided so much, that scared me so badly. I was so afraid of, I don't know, judgment, or I'd forget something, or add the list. There was a list. It wasn't
yeah.
one. There's a list of things you're afraid of. And I think one of the deep ones is, what if they find out that there's something I didn't know, or that I can't answer a question? The fear of that was so big. It changed my life. Everything else became not only easy, but exciting, because you had conquered the thing that scared you the most. And so I always say to people, whatever you're the most afraid of is the thing you must do, because
absolutely,
once you do it, you are unstoppable.
Yeah, absolutely. And to nail that TEDx stage.
Oh, huge.
It's cool. It's really cool. It is life-changing. Again, take strategy. You got to do it right. But when you do, I don't believe anything's the same ever again. And there's a reason why, again, Larry Namer, a billionaire, is getting on the TEDx stage. Boy doesn't need to do it. He's doing okay. But he understands the importance of it. The guy that founded E! Entertainment TV, he doesn't rub shoulders with the stars. They rub shoulders with him. But there's a reason why he wants to be on this stage. And I think that speaks volumes.
It does. It absolutely does. So listen, when you're working with someone, and they're a client of yours, we all know that storytelling is essential. Being able to tell your story powerfully is the trick, and being real and authentic as well. If you're working with someone on shaping their story or their idea for a stage, what's usually the missing piece that changes the whole game?
Make it relatable to the audience. Mm-hmm. That's what the only thing that matters to the audience is what matters to the audience. That's all that matters. So if you're telling this story that they can't relate to at all, then it didn't. I was doing survival in the Amazon jungle, and I'm swimming with the piranhas, and it's a cool story, right? It's a cool story, and catching them instead of, and eating them instead of them eating me. Cool story. Means nothing to an audience, though. I'm not going to use that story in a speech because they don't care. They don't care. But if you can take your story and put it in relatable terms for most people, or at least for many people, now it matters to them. So whatever story you're telling, it's got to relate to them. It's got to have a purpose. It can't just be to impress people. Not cool.
This is such a perfect point I'm so glad that you brought that up. It is about the audience. It is about them, because they're tuning out unless you can make it relatable to them. One of my pet peeves is a speaker who will get up. It's funny, as a podcast host, I take what people send me and then I go out and do all the research and I create their intros for them from an authentic place of what I know about them. What, you know, yes, it takes into effect their, it takes into account their pedigree. It takes into account the things that they've done. But really, who are they? How do they make a difference in the world? I think it's a better way to go than for the speaker who comes out and starts their talk with, and I think the audience knows that's a pet peeve of mine. They come out and they say, I've worked with hundreds and thousands of people, and I've made millions of dollars, and I've already turned the channel. I'm already like, I don't care anything to do with me.
Yeah.
I'm giving you my attention. So for me, that's more valuable than money. I'm giving you my attention. And I don't care about all these other people you've dealt with. I want to know, what do you have that will change things for me? Because I gave you time or money if I hired you to coach me.
Both. Yeah.
And so I think this is really, you made such a great point there. This is, thank you for saying that. It's incredible. What do you hope? Let's talk about your book. I want to talk about the Simple Guide to Public Speaking Without Losing Your Lunch. Totally identify with that. I get it. But what do you hope someone walks away with after they read that they couldn't get from some speaking course or a YouTube?
This gives a lot of specific examples that are going to go a little bit beyond a lot of the stuff you're normally taught. Sure, it goes into making the eye contact and changing the volume and the cadence and all that. Sure, it goes into those kind of things. But more importantly, in fact, I think the most important part of all of it is making you the most powerful you've ever been in your life before you walk on that stage. I teach a technique in there and give a story about it from squadron officer school when I was a captain in the Air Force, where normally we go up and on stage again, where that person is worried, we're going to screw up, we're going to forget everything, and it shows our notes are going like this or whatever. I teach them, and I've done this around the world, it's so much fun, how to get in that state of mind where you go back to the most powerful you've ever been in your life. And you feel it, you see it, you smell it, you taste it, you experience it, you are there. So then when you go up on stage, you're not that person who's scared that people are going to judge you, that you're not going to have the right answers, that you're going to space out, you're going to forget what you're going to say, all those. No, you're the person who just, whatever that is. And when you are the most powerful you've ever been in your life, ain't nobody getting in your way.
Does everybody have that story? As you say that, I think about my husband, who all he has to do is tell me the story about he hit the home run and brought all the bases in and he's on fire. And he can literally come close to tears telling a story that happened a very long time ago. That's the state you want to be in. But what do you do with the person who says, I don't really have a powerful story behind me? How do you help someone rewrite their internal narrative?
If you had to come up with one time in your life, if you had to come up with an example, if you had to, what would it be? Kelly, there's something fascinating about that phrasing that I've learned for people solving problems, whatever they are. If they, I don't know, whatever it is. When I ask them, if you had to come up with a solution, if you had to come up with an answer, if you had, I don't get it. Okay. I've not studied the psychology behind this one, but for some reason, pretty much every single time they come up with an answer. So they will go, because of course I've run into this. They will go, I guess if I had to come up with something, it would be, and then the technique starts. Tell me more about that. What was happening? What was going on around you? How were the people reacting? How did that feel? What was going through your head? And then by the end of it, while you're doing that, you see them start sitting up a little straighter. And you go, it's true, right? You see their eyes lighting up, their face lighting up. You see them getting more powerful. And then when they reach that point, and you can tell, I ask them, how do you feel right now? I feel fantastic. I feel powerful. Bada bing, that's your deal. That's what you do every time before you walk up on stage. I do it. When they're doing the intro, Terry's the best guy ever, right? All that kind of stuff. I'm not even in the room. Now, physically, I'm there. Mentally, I'm at my place. That I felt the most powerful ever. And then when I go up on stage, watch out, baby.
You know what? This is very much how athletes train. I will say, think about it. Think every athlete before they get on the field, they're doing a routine. You can watch them. You can see them, whether they're in the dugout or whether they're on the sidelines and they're gearing up. You can watch it. They're getting themselves into that space. Yeah. And it's so powerful. And you really have to do it, because otherwise, and what do you think about people getting up on stages? I'd love to hear your take on your entry onto a stage. I know you're TEDx, but you're also all about getting on any stage. What is the best tip you can give people on their approach to the stage? Do you have one?
Smile. Smile! That really is. Smile and look at the audience, man. And especially, and there's different people teach different things. I got the mic, so I'll tell you what I think. Eye contact is critical. Now, some people train, just look over the audience. No, eye contact. And I love, now I'll do eye contact all around the room. I don't care how big the room is. There's going to be eye contact. But One of the tricks I've learned is I will especially focus on my front row because I'm going to mess with them. During the talk, we're going to go back and forth a little bit. And if I'm joking with them, the rest of the audience is part of the joke too. It's like they're right there with us. So they're enjoying it also. And at the end of the talk, is it better to have somebody jump on their feet who's at the back of the room or at the front of the room? The front of the room, because the whole room takes their cues off them. If they stand up for that standing ovation, everybody else does too.
Yeah.
So maybe everybody's going to get my attention, but they're going to get the most of it. I'm going to make them laugh. I'm going to make them cry. I'm going to make them inspired. I'm going to make them jump on their feet at the end of that talk, whether they even know they're doing it or not, most likely.
So true. That front row takes it. Everybody takes their cue from the front row.
Absolutely.
And really, it's about connection. And if people see connection between you and the front row, they want it too. And now you have them engaged.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I think, in the audience are also, gosh, I hope he doesn't talk to me, because they're afraid of having the spotlight on them. But at the same time, if you are that person, you get to vicariously enjoy that there's engagement going on. Connection, it's all about connection, isn't it?
Yes, it absolutely is. And one of my favorite things, and we should talk, you've probably talked about this in the past, but just in case, find that person that is connecting with you in the audience, and they're your anchor. They're your main ones. Don't try to convince the person. Look, I used to do this. If I can't get off the stage and somebody's on their phone or whatever, right? It happens. Audiences are weird sometimes. I used to try to convince them, or if they're not reacting the way I want, I used to really focus. No, I'm going to focus on the people who are giving me the love, because the rest of the audience will feel that energy. I'll fully admit, if I can get off the stage, I will walk back to somebody who is on their phone. I won't say anything to them. I won't even look at them. I'll just stand right by them. And it's the funniest thing you'll ever see, because they'll be doing this. And they'll go, and they'll put it down. Like, all right, that's better. Son of a gun.
That you do that, because it is so incredibly rude.
Rude.
I'm so done with bad manners, and it's getting worse and worse every day. So I love that you just addressed that.
Absolutely.
If anything, let's tell the audience, listen, it's hard enough for people to get up there on the stage, and they're bringing you what they got the best way they can. And to be on your phone.
Right.
Someone's in front of the room, or my other pet peeve. Oh, people getting up and walking out in the middle of something. Really, where are your mothers? Can I call them and tell them they didn't bring you up very well? Because honestly, just were you not in school with other children in school where, why would you want them to experience you leaving? How horrible that would feel to be on stage, to have you doing such disrespect.
If they get out of my audience, they better have to pee really bad. That's all I
want. Right? I know. And you can really win the audience over if you call it out in a funny way.
Yeah.
And you're able to say, what, something I said? Really?
Right.
Really?
Right.
And then we can, it's funny. You play with the audience because they came there to play with you. They came there. I really believe that most of the time, unless you're in a forced, maybe a school situation where you have to show up, most people showed up on purpose, that they chose to be there. So they're for you. They want you to give something that's valuable, and they're not against you. Let's put it that way. They're not, they might, you know, wait and see. We'll see how this guy does. But the truth is they want you to succeed because it's good for them.
And especially if you smile, then that attracts them right to you. For goodness sake, folks, smile. I don't care how nervous you think you are, because you're going to get over that. We talked about that. Smile. It is the biggest communicator in the entire planet.
It is. It's contagious.
Yeah.
How do you get around anybody who's smiling and it doesn't catch? It just does.
Yeah.
It just does. I love that. So what about those people that say to you, I can't get on the stage. I'll freeze. I'm so afraid I'll freeze. Is there something you can share that will get people out of that absolute fear of paralysis?
Absolutely. Let me ask you, do you have a child?
Oh, yes.
Okay, you do. Your child is trapped under a car. Your child is trapped under a car. What are you going to do?
Car's moving.
That car's moving. Why?
Because it's non-negotiable.
It's non-negotiable. And it goes back to the ox cart technique, as I call it again, the carrot and the stick. You're not moving the car because it'd be lovely to go have ice cream afterwards. No, if you don't move that car, your child dies. Okay, so let's take it back to it's not about you, it's about your cause. If you don't get on that stage, then whatever your cause is for will not be positively affected and therefore will be negatively affected. If your cause is for helping starving children in Romania, then if you don't get on that stage, children will die. Okay? Get over yourself. It brings us right back to it's not about you. Get over yourself. If that helps you, and this, we can talk about a martial arts technique real quick too. But focus on them. When I'm doing martial arts board breaking, okay, my focus is not the board. If my focus was the board, I'd break my hand more than I already have, right? Because that board is hard. It is harder than my skin. It is harder than my flesh. It is harder than my bones. If I'm focused on the board, I'm going to go like that and I'm going to break my hand because I'm going to stop there. My goal isn't the board. My goal is past the board. It's that area right there past the board. So when I'm doing my board breaking, I'm going like that to get past it. And if you can't see this, if you're doing the audio version of this, I went past the board. That's all I care about. Get past yourself. Get past your fears. Get past anything because your goal is more important. Your idea is more important. Your thought can change the world. And that's more important than you if you truly feel that way. Does that make sense, Kelly?
Perfect sense. And the truth is, even if you're afraid, even if you know you're an introvert, you're talking to two people who are confirmed, admitted introverts who get out and speak. And why do we do it? Because there's a bigger cause. And if you're getting up, we know that exponentially, the way to build your business exponentially is to get out and speak about it. Do you believe in what you do? Forget you. Let's forget you. Is what you contribute, what your business contributes to the planet, to the industry, to your city, to your club, to your church, whatever. Do you believe in it? Does it matter? Then get out of your own way and go out and speak about it and make it about what matters, not your fear of it, not your fear of the reception. Just does what you do matter? And that's how you grow your business because people will believe you if you're authentic. But if you're afraid, then they're going to focus on your fear. They're going to focus on that. Here's another thought I had that I wanted to ask you about. What happens if you take that big leap and you get up there and speak and you bomb, or you forget something, or because we've all had it, we've
We've
all,
all had it.
every one of us, and you can either race off the stage, don't do that, don't do that, or you can stay and Terry, tell us some ideas you have about it.
Oh, God, yes. Okay, first of all, let's talk about forgetting what you are going to say. First of all, I like what Bruce Lee said, which was don't practice until you get it right. Practice till you can't get it wrong. That's it. So even before my TED talk, my dogs could give my TED talk, okay? Because they have heard it a million times. The night before my TED talk, I got a hotel room near the venue, and it was a suite, and only because I could walk around and walk. I'm having to take throat coat and everything else because I'm getting hoarse because I'm practicing so much. But that being said, if you still forget, they don't know. They have no idea what you're going to say. Now, here's the one that kills me, though, and it still does. I tell my wife about this decently often. I'm up there. And by the way, you don't have to be as energetic as I am. Okay. I know I'm energetic. I get it. All right. And no, I'm not on anything besides a lot of caffeine. You just be you because not everybody relates to me. They're going to relate to you better. But I am up there, man. I'm giving it my all. I'm going at it. And the audience just isn't responding. And I will, in the middle of the speech, be thinking to myself, just get through it, Fossum. Just get through it. Just get through it. Just do your thing. And then, Kelly, at the end of that speech, they jump up on their feet and they're giving me a standing ovation. I'm like, what? Where were you 15 minutes ago? So you never know. You never know. It is impossible to bomb a speech. And here's why. Because you are touching somebody's life in there. Let's say you don't win the audience. Let's say they don't jump up on their feet or don't congratulate you afterwards or anything like that. You have touched at least one person's life in there. Now, we could talk about at least you practice. We have to be bad till we get good, which is God's honest truth, right? But the point here is you've touched one person's life. Is that a success? Yeah, it really is. You've made a difference in the world, and that's what matters. If you're worried about you're not getting the reaction that you want, yeah, once again, you're making it about you. It ain't about you. Does that help?
Good advice. It's so truthful. And honestly, sometimes if you screw up big, it's the best
Sure.
because if you own it in this day and age,
Yes.
if you're accountable at all, people are so delighted because it feels very rare at this very moment in time. The fact is, if you actually own it, you will pull the audience in with you because what your experience is what they're absolutely terrified of. And
Yeah.
they don't want to blow it either. That's why they're not on the stage. So if you get up there and show them, listen, this is survivable.
Yes.
I completely forgot the next thing I was going to say. It'll come back to me. People will say, oh my gosh, I would be so afraid if that happened to me. And they'll love you all the
They'll
more.
love you.
Be
You're
authentic.
vulnerable. You're human.
It is the most, and it's the most affirming thing as human beings is that sometimes when things are at their worst, we're at our best. People come right through for you. You'll get more accolades when you get off the stage of saying, I loved your talk. You made me laugh when you forgot. I do it all the time. I forgot in the board meeting last week. They care. They get it. They will align with you. So I completely love the things that you've said. This is amazing. With everything that you're doing, everything that you're contributing out there in the world right now, and clearly you're having a good time. You've had more wins than people dream about. But what are you most proud of when no one's looking?
I have had more dreams than most people dream that, or more wins. That might be true. But what I can absolutely tell you is true is I've had more failures than most people would want to endure. Let's be honest here. Let's be honest here. You hear the wins, you hear the accolades, you don't see the tears, okay? You don't see the disappointments, the exasperations, you don't see any of that. But I guarantee you, there's way more of that than any amount of wins that I've got. And I think it's important for everybody to understand that. I don't know that I'm any smarter than anybody else or anything else, but I work hard and I will outwork most people and I will fail and fail because that is the path to success. If you're failing right now and you're going, man, maybe I'm not supposed to be doing this. Maybe this isn't what God wants for me. Or maybe I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. Maybe it's a stupid idea. All of those self-doubts, those self-limiting beliefs that go through our head. I want you to understand something. Every single person who's ever succeeded at anything significant in the history of mankind has failed and failed. So if you're at that point where you're failing again, I want you to go, yes, fantastic. Outstanding. I'm failing. That means I'm on the path to success. Because if you ain't failing, you're not succeeding at anything.
That you share that with the audience. I think the interesting thing about failures, and I'd like to know if this is true for you. I think every one of the failures that we have were absolutely necessary to get to the next step. Every one of them had a gift in it. It was something you needed to know, something you got very clear about, even if it's don't do that again or get out of this job. I never want to do this again. I think those are gifts. Everybody can look back and have a job, and either they got fired or they got laid off or they were perceived in a way that was not intentional. But really, if you went back to look at it, you got something you needed out of that.
Yes.
I think each step leads to the next thing, and some of them are just darn unpleasant. But
Right.
that's what makes the wins so huge because you survived. If you come out of the gate with a win right out of the gate, and that's all you have, they're a little bit empty. They're not as big. The swing isn't as huge. The experience, it's like having a bad relationship. There's nothing that makes you appreciate a great marriage more than one that didn't work out well.
Amen, baby. Yeah, 100%, 100%. What I think that too is so important for people to know is that when you're going through those things, it's that, sure, you'll get your win, whatever it is, which is fantastic, right? That's what you think you're going for. But in my opinion, it's more important to be able to inspire other people. And nobody's interested in some silver spoon imposter who's always had it going right for them. That's why I don't mind telling this story about my upbringing. Poorest city in the entire U.S., surrounded by gangs and drugs, wronging them an assault rifle in junior high in my own back alley. Father killed when I was in high school. And as I mentioned already, before he died, one of the neighbors saying, none of your kids are ever going to grow up to be anything. I don't mind that because it makes people understand that it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter where you come from. It only matters where you're going to. And who chooses that? You do. Every single day by the actions you take or do not take.
I appreciate that perspective so much. And it's funny, if you're gonna get out and speak about things and you want people to relate to you, it's always the hard things they relate to. You can have all the awards you want. You can have incredible awards, incredible experiences. You have one of the best pedigrees I've ever seen for accomplishment across multiple industries. But how much do people identify with that? Probably not. They're not doing as much as you do. But when you say poorest town, gangs, somebody said I wasn't worth anything because they said I'd never turn out to do anything. People relate to that because we've all had a bully in our lives. Yeah. We've all had, all of us. If you haven't, you've really missed out because overcoming that is powerful. It's game changing. That changes your life. So I appreciate all the things that you said, but add to that, it's that story. It's the story that people remember. They never remember you got 16 awards last week, lost the world, and you're all that. And I was like, whatever. I don't even remember it. Wow, this guy ended up dealing with astronauts and political leaders and doing how many TED Talks? That's the stuff people will then go, wow, that's impressive. Yeah. You've got a journey to share.
And so does everybody listening to this show today. You've got a journey to share. And listen, if it's a bad journey, that's going to inspire more people. Because guess what? You're not alone. Other people are going through it too, and they need to feed off your strength. So don't be afraid to share, whether it's on a TEDx stage or on any stage or one-on-one. It's your journey, your difficulties, your trials, your tribulations, your challenges, your disappointments, your setbacks that are truly going to inspire other people.
On this topic of the failures that you've had, and now you're at the top of the food chain. Now you're just doing exceptionally well. If you could hand your younger self one piece of advice at the very start of your career, what would it be? And would your younger self even listen?
That's a great perspective. I've never heard before. I love that. I love that. What would it be? Man, there's so many, right? For one thing, they're wrong. They're wrong. It's going to be okay. And for a lot of people, you're stronger than you are. I think that's an important one for people. You are stronger than you know that you are. You've got this. Would I have listened to it back then? I think I was very blessed. I'm a big proponent of the scouting program. I'm a big scout leader. In fact, I was on that survival show representing all of Boy Scouts of America in my Scoutmaster uniform. And I'm very blessed.
Hey, what's the show?
Oh, you'll have to find out later. No, it's a quick background. First of all, it's called Kicking and Screaming. It's currently playing on Prime Video, Kicking and Screaming. Now, here's why. It was 10 survival experts. In fact, I'll tell you, I did not apply to be on any show, didn't want to be on any show. I have no desire to be on a survival show, okay? I do the things I do in the wilderness around the world for fun. I'm just kind of weird that way. I get this email out of the blue, and there's more of a story to that, too. I'd been praying to God, what do you want me to do next? Whatever it is, I'll do it. And I get this email out of the blue to be on this is a brand new television survival reality show casting 10 of the top survival experts in the country against each other while dragging along a complete novice, somebody who's never even camped in their backyard before, thus kicking and screaming. And there's more of a story to that. Turned out I was the oldest person on the entire show. So I'm that guy that's, oh, it's really cute that they've got that old guy on there, that they get that demographic. He gonna die. He gonna die. And then they wanted me to represent all of Boy Scouts of America in my Scoutmaster uniform. And I found out my opponents, my competitors were Special Forces guys, Marine Scout sniper, guy who helped take out a mercenary who helped take out Saddam Hussein, fourth degree ninja black belt that I'd seen on Naked and Afraid All Stars, except for the fuzzy parts, military survival instructors, and me.
Oh my gosh.
So it's on Prime Video right now. Like I said, you can go check it. It aired on Fox. It's been on Hulu and a few of the others, and it's on Prime Video right now.
Hulu, Fox. I have to go check this out.
Yeah, Prime
Amazing.
Video is where it's at right now. Yeah.
I will have to check that out now, especially with these incredible friends and partners on this show that
Oh
you are
boy.
having to navigate. Boy, that had to be an adventure. And you were in the Arctic Circle. You ended up doing a project in the Arctic Circle. Please give me just a little bit of tease on that.
So I'm sitting here at my desk one day and I'm going, it's time for an adventure. So I pull out my maps, and it's right here at my desk. And I look, there's Arctic Circle, huh? There's this place called Inuvik. I don't know. There's looks like there might be a road to that. There's a place up there called Tuktoyaktuk. I know now. There's no road. I think I'll go there. So I call up my wife, my poor wife, and I said, I think I'm going to do a solo trek deep into the Arctic Circle. And she goes, when? And she, first of all, what? Yeah, solo trek. And she, when? I think Thursday. Yeah, made it up to Inuvik, which is not a huge deal, and then befriended an Inuit guide by the name of Kalek, and talked him into dropping me off on the permafrost. It was a summer, it had melted about an inch, so it was all slushy for the most part. So billions of them. Have you ever seen those National Geographic shows and the animals are covered with mosquitoes? You ever seen those? You ever wonder
Yes.
what that feels like? I can answer that question. So anyway, he gets me. I come back off that, go up to Tuktoyaktuk. Now I come back down to Inuvik, and now Alec is a little more impressed with me. I'm not just some who's this white guy that showed up out of the blue, right? Because now I've had some time on his land. So he goes, so we need to go out on a caribou hunt, prepare for the winter. Do you want to go with us? Like, caribou hunt with the Inuits deep into the Arctic? Yes, I'm going to go yes on this one. So I ended up, yeah, going on a caribou hunt with them, and of course there's stories there. One of them invited me to his family's whaling village, declined. There's stories there too, but they don't ask any other Inuits to that sacred ground. But I was very blessed. But that's one of those things too. Yeah, I didn't have a plan. Ready, fire, aim. Not ready, aim, fire. Ready, fire, aim. I geared up, and I went for it. I could have spent the rest of my life planning it, thinking about it, contemplating, cogitating, taking it to committee, but never done it. Guys, just go out there. Adventure is waiting for you. Yeah, you're going to have mishaps. I've tried to die a few times, but it just made me tougher and gave me more stories to look back to. So just get out there, enjoy life, whatever that means for you.
I think that is a fabulous place to end this particular interview, this particular conversation, though you must come back again. I feel that is such a great message. Ready, fire, aim. Go for it. Go for it. And you are a man who lives what you say. I am so delighted to have had you on this show. I can't thank you enough for coming to the spotlight. You have a perspective that is unique. It is refreshing. It cuts through the noise. You've got this rare ability, I think, to make big ideas feel doable. And clearly, that's what most people need right now. I'm here to tell you. It's been such a success, such a pleasure, and really such a delight to have you on the show.
Well, Kelly, the feeling is absolutely mutual. We talked about that before we started recording. Really enjoy you and the difference you're looking to make. And not that you're looking to make, that you're making, because you're changing people's lives and you're enabling them to change other people's lives. The ripple effect. Talk about making a difference in the world. So thank you for everything you're doing. I appreciate it.
We are in what I feel is such rarefied air. Because it's a privilege to be able to help people get where they're going, to help them take the next step. And in our particular world, to take them to the next step in an area that scares them to death. A lot of them are just, it's scary territory. I absolutely love what you're doing, and I'm so excited to send people your way. And I also love that you get a feeling with you. Look, you don't have to be on stage. It doesn't have to be perfect. It matters how you shape it. It matters how you share it. And it's important that you stand behind it. You got to own your own message. You need to claim your expertise and your passion. And it's opening doors for other people that usually are not for people that play it safe. And you see that Terry certainly knows nothing about playing it safe. Not at all. But he's inspirational to the rest of us. So if you want more of what Terry brings to the table, you got to go to his website at terrylfossum.com. You got to grab his book, The Simple Guide to Public Speaking Without Losing Your Lunch. It's a practical, approachable guide for anyone who wants to speak with more confidence and less panic. And let's face it, public speaking is a lot about panic for a lot of people. I get it. If you've ever thought about doing a TED Talk or even just wondered if your idea is strong enough, go get his free tool at ideascore.ai. It'll analyze your idea and it'll instantly give you 5 different angles that catch the attention of TEDx organizers. And that's what you need. There's no strings. It's just a smart tool that works. And Terry is walking proof that public speaking can reshape your career, it can amplify your impact, and make you unforgettable in your industry. And isn't that what we're trying to do? That's why we do this show, to spotlight people who are using their voice to move the needle. So if you enjoyed this episode, please share it, like it, subscribe to it. We love having you. I get the best guests. I just cannot believe how blessed I am to have the guests that come on this show. They're really making a difference in the world, and they come with such heart. Every time I interview them, I think, my gosh, how did I get this person? They are changing things as we speak, and I'm blessed to have them. It really helps us if you share this and people get to hear some of these conversations that I know make a difference. I love to hear from you. Drop us a comment. Let me know what sparked something in you. That always is great to hear. We're here to help you tap into the power of your voice, because when you learn to speak with purpose, everything changes. Your business, your message, most important, your momentum. So with that said, Terry L. Fossum, it has been a gift to have you. To everybody out there in the audience, thank you so much for coming. I love having you. And as always, I look forward to our next conversation. See you next time. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive once again into the remarkable stories and insights of our incredible guests. Their experiences and hard-earned, time-tested wisdom are not just meant to inspire you, but to provide you with actionable steps to take on your own path to success. Remember, you have a story to tell, and your voice has the power to transform your business and make lasting impact. And that's what it's all about. If you found value in today's episode, let us know. And I hope you'll take a moment and subscribe to The Spotlight wherever you listen to your podcasts, so you never miss a thought-provoking or idea-producing conversation. I'm Kelly O'Hara, and I can't wait to see you back here for the next episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.